Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
We are The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Our next guest is a former NFL defensive back, now the co-host of the Man to Man podcast. Darius Butler joins the show. Darius, how are you, man?
Welcome. What's happening?
Chris, what's up? Chris, Rob, what's up? How y'all doing?
Doing
great.
We're
good, man. We're good. Now, look, before we get into the football, so you got the Man to Man podcast. Is it just you or do you have a partner?
Oh, no, it's me and Antoine Bethea, 14-year NFL vet, Super Bowl champ, multiple Pro Bowler. So, yeah, it's my former teammate. So it's me and him. We go back at it. We talk football, basketball, I mean, everything going on in the sports world.
Oh, you know basketball?
Oh, yeah. Come on, I was a hooper. That's my first love.
Wow, very
All right,
nice.
So how's the foray into the media treating you? How you liking it, the transition?
Man, you know what? It's been fun. I never would have thought, you know, in a million years that, you know, I would have been in this space. I always had, you know, a great respect, especially for, like, the local writers. I always had a good relationship with them because I know how tough their job was, you know, trying to get a story every day. But I never thought, you know, I would be on this side of it, but kind of how the media as a whole is kind of moving to this digital space where,
right,
you know, you kind of own to build your own platforms and, you know, not necessarily, you know, be stuck to these FCC airway rules. It's been fun, man. It's open. It's real dialogue. So I'm enjoying it. And, you know, when I stop enjoying it, that's when I stop doing it.
How difficult is it to criticize people? I think the biggest thing that separates athletes who want to get into this business is a lot come and go because they have a hard time being critical of other, you know, other players.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you got to trash people, but if somebody doesn't play well, you got to be willing to say it.
Right.
You got to. You got to call it how you see it. And, you know, athletes, you know, this is part of it. It's what comes with it. And, you know, if somebody's telling the truth and it's not coming from, you know, a bad or a hateful place,
right,
it's just kind of, it's part of it. So usually if I say something bad about someone, you know, especially in the football, I'll give some, hey, maybe they could do this to make it better, especially if we're talking about DBs or defense or something like that. And I do some breakdowns, some coverages and things like that. But I'll also go into kind of like a teaching place as well, because as athletes, that's what we do. We're getting criticized literally every day after practicing games. We're going to those meetings. So I've been all right with that. And a lot of times when I do it, the player or the person will reach out and be like, hey, you were dead ass right about that. And, you know, I appreciate it and we keep it going. But as long as you come from the right place, you know, it hasn't been a problem so far.
All right, so now it's time to trash somebody. The Giants, do they have a quarterback? Danny Dimes is who they call Daniel Jones. And I'm looking – something's missing here. Is he the quarterback of the future for the Giants? Because their offense is abysmal.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I mean, you see him, and you can watch him, and you can say, hey, this kid's got potential. He's got an arm. He can make all the throws. He's athletic. You know, some people call him sneaky athlete. He's just purely athletic. But it just hasn't come together. And, you know, you can blame it on whatever you want to blame it on, but it's a results-oriented business. And that was Antoine's former teammate, so he called him Danny Dimes. I told him to call him what his mama's name is, Daniel Jones, until proven otherwise. And I haven't seen anything close to Danny Dimes. So, obviously, I'm always hopeful for players that they can turn it around. But how it looks now, man, they're going to have to address that quarterback position. They won't have a chance, you know, to really compete, not only in that division, but, you know, to be a real contender.
You played the bulk of your career in Indianapolis, so they have a reclamation project at quarterback with Carson Wentz. He was okay in week one, but obviously they lost, so it's all for naught. But do you think he is the guy there that he can kind of resurrect his career and get back to or even close to the MVP form he showed back in 2017?
Yeah, I thought, and you know, he gets the most hype and credit for an MVP that he never won in anybody else's sports history.
Right.
But he did have a good year, and he had that good year with Frank Reich. So I thought, you know, kind of even midway through last season, you know, you kind of saw that writing on the wall, and he was thinking it up, and everything around him was as well. And I saw that, you know, I thought that, look, Frank, and not only Frank, but being in Indianapolis, being in the Midwest, you guys know you cover sports forever. Being in Philly, that's a totally different beast coming from North Dakota. So you get out there in Indy, you know, that's just better for his psyche, you know, this type of things that he's into, hunting and things like that. So I think ultimately he can turn his career around there. He'll maybe never be an MVP-type quarterback, but I think that building, that team, I think they're built to be a winner long-term. And I think it'll be some stability there. They just locked up GM and the head coach. So I think he'll be all right there. I don't see him being an MVP-type guy. But I do see him potentially, you know, taking those guys down, you know, in the stretch in the playoffs.
What did you make of week one? Aaron Rodgers, obviously a terrible game coming off of an unbelievable MVP season he had. But he didn't, you know, he talked a lot during the offseason, lot of noise. And then he laid a stinker in game one.
Yeah, he laid an egg. He laid an egg. And to start the season, especially a season like this, it'll be a lot of teams who came out and stunk it up, or who came out and looked like Super Bowl champs in week one, and in week two, they'll look completely different. So I think, you know, kind of after that first four or five games of the season, we'll really have a grip on who everybody is. But, I mean, this is Aaron Rodgers we're talking about. I think he'll definitely turn it around, and that team will be all right. He'll be all right. I think the Saints did a great job with everything that's going on outside of football, you know, in Louisiana with Hurricane Ida. And, you know, being displaced and, you know, choosing Florida to be the place to bring A-Rod to. And then the defense, you know, coming out, handling business from wire to wire, putting Jameis in great situations. I thought Jameis would have a great year this year. He started off, you know, I don't think he could start off better than five touchdowns, no picks. So I think that was more about New Orleans just executing a game plan on all three phases of the game to a T. And Green Bay never really got comfortable. It kind of looked very similar to when they got whooped up on early in the season with the Bucs last year. But I think Green Bay, they'll be all right.
Aaron Rodgers always seems to have a bad game. There's a really bad game in the mix somewhere during the season. He had it at Tampa Bay a couple years ago. He had a stinker at San Francisco and San Diego. You remember that? I mean, against the Chargers. So he always squeezes one in. But I think if you're the Lions on Monday night, you better be ready, the DBs. You better be ready.
Oh, yeah, you better be ready. And the Lions, you know, the Lions showed some fight, man. I was kind of, you know, I was proud of the Lions. You know, I turned that game off, actually. It was down, I think, 38-17, and I turned it back on. It was 31-38. So they showed some fight. Golf showed some fight. I kind of wrote Golf off. But we'll see. We'll see what MCDC does out there with their new regime. It's got a new GM. So, you know, we'll see. But I think they hold it down at Green Bay at home and they get back on the winning ways.
Speaking of Detroit, they obviously had the new coach, Dan Campbell, and he's different, you know, talking about biting kneecaps and
he's too wacky for me.
As a player, you know, we're from the outside looking in. But if you're a player, are you guys mocking that, making fun of it in the locker room, think it's corny? Or do you respect it and you know, he's a football player and that's football talk? You know, like, how do you think most players look at that stuff?
Honestly, it's just about the results, man. If you're building a winner, if you're showing, you know, if guys are bought in and, you know, week in, week out, regardless if you're winning the game or not, it's not always kind of about the result. But if you can see that process and then kind of where your team is, you know, do you have an older veteran team? Do you have a team that's kind of in the middle? I think you have a quarterback in Golf who's trying to resurrect, and almost, you know, as long as somebody's believing in him, you know, him and the rest of the guys will believe in him. So I don't have a problem with Dan Campbell, but, you know, if they get to 3-11 in the season and not competitive and you're not showing any progression, okay, now we got to get him out of here and get something more, you know, traditional, more whatever. But if he has quirky ways and crazy sayings and it's actually working and the fan base is buying in, the team, and it's the identity, that's a blue-collar city. So as long as they're showing competitive and fighting and something, you know, Lions, those fans have been struggling for a while. So if they're showing something, it's some progress.
Since way before you were born.
They got one playoff win since way before you were born. I can document it. I covered the Lions for 20 years. I saw so many losses in the NFL. But the only good thing, though, was that I could start writing my column at halftime because the game was usually on.
Man, they gotta pay CJ his money, man. They gotta give him that money.
No way. I'll debate you left and right. Does he deserve that money. He quit.
Every cent.
He quit. There's no
Every
way
cent.
That they the Lions should give a guy money who quit. Honor.
You covered
he should have honored
Lions.
His contract.
You know this guy went out there and laid it on the line.
No,
I mean,
I ain't buying it.
He was patching himself up.
Let me ask you this.
I mean, the deal they put together, come and do 28 hours of appearances and this and that. Like,
no,
on,
but they're being nice.
Saying,
they shouldn't even give them the money back. Barry Sanders gave back like $10 million to the Lions or whatever it was. Do you know that?
They won't be right. They won't be right until they make
it
right.
They haven't been right way before Calvin Johnson.
Let me tell you something. If the roles were reversed and the Lions weren't paying Calvin Johnson because he quit or, you know, tried to hold money from him, people would go crazy. They don't owe Calvin Johnson a nickel. They paid him all the money he deserved.
Look, it's not always about what you – look what, Andrew Luck, he tore his shoulder up. We know how he messed his shoulder up. He quit. He retired before the season.
No, he didn't quit.
You know
Calvin,
what I hear.
No.
I'm going to give
on.
You this $24 million anyway. You laid it on the line. Go enjoy your new kid. Enjoy
he
your wife.
He didn't quit because he couldn't – he was hurt.
All right, guys. Well, unfortunately, right. We got to move on as
we
much as I'm enjoying
this. We're going to get you back on because I already got
with you. You good, man. You doing your thing. Keep it up, and you're gonna be fine in this media space. So we will get you on again, man. We really like you.
Hey, appreciate you guys having me, man.
Yep,
all
thank
right,
you.
Brother. Peace. He's good, Rob. He'll say something. I like that.
Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
It is the Odd Couple. I am Chris. He is Rob. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios.
We'll do it live.
You can follow us on social media as well. Rob is at RobParkerFS1 on both Twitter and Instagram. I am at Chris_Broussard on Twitter. ChrisBroussard68 on Instagram. And we are just moments away from the Washington football team hosting Daniel Jones and the New York Giants, both teams in need of a victory, and Danny Jones in need of a good game because New York is getting impatient with him. And Spencer Rattler, who I know is off to a rough start at Oklahoma right now, but he is projected by many to be the top quarterback in this draft. And the thing is, Oklahoma, they've produced Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield. So lately their quarterbacks have done their thing at the next level. So Daniel Jones better start producing or the Giants might start looking toward the future with somebody else. We got Greg Jennings, Super Bowl champion and bodybuilder supreme. That's right. Also a Fox Sports NFL analyst. He will join us at the bottom of the hour.
Greg
and then
Jamie.
Another issue of Inside
Saquon's
the Park.
Playing tonight, huh? He's
yep.
activated. Okay, finally.
He is playing. Well, you know, he played last week, but they kind of partially played him. Didn't do much.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that they had activated him. I thought they were still waiting on him.
Well, he played, but then coming out of that game, he was questionable for tonight, I guess, on the short rest, but still. But, Rob, let's go to the – I mean, my goodness. And I know, you know, people like to make fun of the Dallas Cowboys, and there's so much to make fun of. It's been, what, Rob, 25 years since they've won four playoff games. What is that it in the last 25 years?
That's it.
Haven't won a Super Bowl. I mean, this is a team that was, as everybody knows, because they're still quote unquote America's team, but they actually were good back in the day. When we were growing up, Staubach and Tony Dorsett, Hollywood Henderson, Drew Pearson, Too Tall Jones, all those guys. And now they are basically running on fumes. But I picked them to make the playoffs this year and have a nice season. And they look pretty good in losing to the defending Super Bowl champions, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, on opening night last week. But, Rob, this is the type of thing that makes you wonder, are they snake bitten under Jerry Jones now? Because DeMarcus Lawrence, Rob, their best pass rusher, he broke his foot in practice on Wednesday. He's out 6 to 8 weeks. Their second best pass rusher, Randy Gregory, he is on the COVID protocol, so he's likely to be out as well on Sunday. Not only that, Michael Gallup, their third receiver, was placed on injured reserve with a calf strain that he suffered in the game against Tampa Bay. Right tackle, Lyle Collins was suspended 5 games for violating the NFL substance abuse policy. This came out like a day after the game. And they already were without Zach Martin, their great offensive lineman, in game one because of COVID. Now he'll be back. But Rob, and add insult to injury, Leon Lett, remember him of Super Bowl infamy. He's one of their coaches now. He injured his knee in practice. I don't know what in the world he was doing.
He had picked up a loose ball and he was running down the field. And not only did the ball slip out of his hands, his knee gave out.
His knee fell out. But this, Rob, if it's not one thing with the Cowboys, it's another. I look, and I'm sticking with them as the pick. I mean, I think that's a bad division. Philly looked much better than everybody expected, but we'll see if that continues. But, you know, they got a light schedule, so I think they still can have a good year. In fact, I'm going to say that, you know, I came on last week. I came on last Friday. And after Dak threw up 400-plus yards in a loss to Tampa Bay, I said, all right, it's been 2 years in the making. I was calling him en route to elite. And I said it last Friday, Rob. Dak Prescott is now elite. I'm convinced. And I'm going to put this on him. If he's now elite, and I'm not the only one that feels that way. You know, I'm not saying he's in the class of Brady and Rodgers and Mahomes and those guys, but he, you know, there's another class of elite below them. That's where he's at. But if he is indeed in that class, Rob, no excuses. I just read off a litany of injuries and COVID misses and all that. I don't care. If you're elite, there are times when you can lift your team. I'm not saying you lift them by yourself to the Super Bowl, but you can lift them to some regular season victories. And Rob, he's got to show it. We've talked about it ad nauseum, that he can beat some winning teams. I know it's week two, but the Chargers are a winning team. They're 1-0. So I'm saying Dak Prescott, they're 0-1, Rob. We talked about the 0-2. What that means, Dak Prescott needs to go out and lift the Cowboys to victory over the Chargers if he's elite.
I think at some point you do have to win those games. You can't always – it's the NFL. People are hurt every week. So you can't just use that as – your crutch, oh, we didn't have this, we didn't have that. There are certain games they have to win. If they lose this week, then you'll start to look and go, well, what's actually happened here? They played well in losing, or, you know, a close game, but a game they need. They just it's like they know what's stacked up against them. I know the division is weak. They should win the division. I don't have them making the playoffs. This is a big game for Washington. Because Washington, they have a defense, and I don't know where they're going with the, you know, quarterback who
he looked good, you know, in the playoffs.
Yeah, he played in the playoffs against Tampa Bay, right?
Yep.
And
Taylor
and looked decent. And Taylor Heineke.
Yep.
Yeah, and he looked decent, but the defense is the strength of that team, and the Cowboys. I don't know. I think it's a mixed bag. Mike McCarthy, I'm not game on him. I'm not keen on him. they got to get a more balanced attack. They got to run the football. Dak is putting up numbers, but they don't win. They don't win when he puts up those numbers. And that, if I'm looking at it, I don't know, are there analytics about it? Is somebody looking to say, because this is what Tony Dungy pointed to when Dak got hurt. So this is not me or some other talking head or just somebody who doesn't know football. This is Tony Dungy, who won a Super Bowl. And he said it, it sounded like a slight of Dak when he said it, but he was like, this may be a blessing in disguise. This might be great for the Cowboys from the standpoint that they'll go back to running the football, which is when they were at their best. And I get it. Ezekiel Elliott's not the same guy.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, Rob. Do you think he can carry them like he did his first few years?
I don't know, but I think they need to try. Because I would say to you, Dak puts up big numbers and they lose again, and Ezekiel Elliott has 25 yards or he doesn't do anything. At some point, you got to figure out something with the running back, because I don't think they're going to get where they want to get to without running the football effectively.
Well, you need some balance. There's no doubt about it. And Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator for the Cowboys, Rob, he said they called 12 other plays, running plays for Ezekiel, and Dak checked out of them. Yeah, Zeke's his best friend, so I don't think he was doing it, you know. He wasn't doing it to keep it from Zeke, but that's what the defense looked like they were giving him. And he thought that those were, you know, better suited for pass plays. But they do have to get some balance. The interesting thing, Rob, is that Ezekiel Elliott, he statistically, you asked about like the analytics, statistically he gets better. He's best at his best between carries 11 and 20. He's much better at 11 through 20.
How many did he have last
than he
game?
Is at 1 through 10. He had 11, I believe. He had
so
11.
He didn't even get warmed up.
11 carries for 33 yards. Exactly. And I think you got to get him at least 15 carries and get that back. And you know what else, Rob? Tony Pollard's not bad. He's not an every down back, but I like Tony Pollard too. So however they do it, if they have to do it running back by committee, I think they can do that. But I do think, Rob, that the days of the running game being their primary focus, like, they're not obviously the Ravens, but they're not even the Browns. And I say even. I shouldn't have even thrown that in there because the Browns have a tremendous running game. But that's not who the Cowboys are. I do believe, Rob, Dak is going to have to carry him. He doesn't have to throw for 400 yards and all that. But I just think that they've transferred from being a running team with a game-managing quarterback who could make some plays here or there, which is what Dak used to be, to now I think he is, when I say elite, that's part of the elite description for me.
Yeah,
you can put the team on your back.
But the only problem is that they haven't won.
He's got to show it. I get it. But that doesn't mean they won't win. You know, so I think he can win putting up those numbers. The numbers against Tampa Bay were not stat padfer numbers, you know, to use your phrase. They weren't in a blowout when they're desperate and the defense is in a soft prevent and all that. They were legitimate numbers. I mean, they moved the football up and down the field on Tampa Bay. So I do think he can do that. They'll need some help from the running game, but I do think Dak can do it by himself. And he's just got to go out and prove it, Rob.
Yeah, well, it starts this week, and they got to start winning some games. It's just you can't keep filling the stat sheet but not winning games, and that's where the Cowboys are. And I know they've had injuries and all kinds of stuff. New coach, the defense was horrible last year. And sometimes he had no choice but to throw it. You can't be down 21 points and run the football. So I get
right.
that. But they need to start the games with a little more balance and try to get Ezekiel. You just said it. He's better between 11 and 20 carries. So he only got 11. You need more. You got to see if this guy has anything left.
And that was Tampa Bay's a great run defense, arguably best in the league. So, you know, you would expect him to get more shots and have more success against the Chargers. But we'll see. That's a game you got to be watching out for.
Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
He's Mike Harmon, I'm Dan Byer, and we have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are the iCouple, Chris and Rob, coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Hit it. And if you're wondering why we play the sultry sounds of Diana Ross, the boss, it's because he's a lean, mean, bodybuilding machine. He don't eat food no more. He just works out.
I don't know what he's eating, but it's just unbelievable. I don't know. What do your kids say when they see you? I mean,
you look like Verb or something from, you remember the cartoon, right? Verb? Greg Jennings. What's up, man?
What's happening, man? Look, I eat food.
Yeah, what kind of food? What do you eat?
I don't know. You call it food.
For dinner last night, he had 4 cashew nuts and some water.
Absolutely not. My last meal was 7 ounces of steak and about 150 grams of Brussels sprouts.
That's it?
My next meal is about to be 6 ounces of chicken with a small little mixed salad with tomatoes, kale, arugula, cucumbers. Yeah, man, I'm eating.
Okay.
All right. You going to wash it down with some molten chocolate cake?
I'm going to wash it down with a nice 32-ounce glass of water, actually a Gatorade bottle.
Hey,
let me ask you this, though, Greg.
Right now, Chris, if he ate a piece of chocolate cake, he would gain 40 pounds. Like, that's where he's at, right? Nah,
my metabolism, would literally just burn it.
Let me ask, real talk, if you ate like this during your career, do you think it would have made a difference?
I definitely think it would have made a difference. Energy level, being able to sustain and have that level of endurance, with knowing what's going into your body versus every single day you're switching it up and you're peaking high. One day you're high, next day you're low because of all the sweets and just a different caloric intake. It would made a difference that way. As far as performance, I mean, it is what it is. I was a baller.
That's right.
You were
a baller, no doubt about that.
Hey, let's start here. The Giants and Washington, they're playing. Daniel Jones, what do you make of him?
He just ran for a touchdown, Rob. He's looking good on the first drive.
Did he fumble?
He did. There go that play-by-play.
I was wondering. Was
no play-by-play during the game. But Daniel Jones, just where he is, if you're the Giants, are you concerned? Are you not? Is he – the fumbles, Greg, 30 fumbles, 18 lost in his first 28 games. What is that about?
Yeah, well, that definitely is something you concern yourself with when we're talking about the fumbles, because at the quarterback position, you got to protect the football. Like, if we can't rely on you to protect the football, and I'm not even talking about throwing interceptions, you're the one that has the ball in your hand on every offensive snap. And so we got to be able to trust that you're going to do good by us, meaning protect the football. But Daniel Jones, he's shown flashes, and he's so young. I think the league is just it's changed because of all the rules and the expectations we have, because we've seen young players at the quarterback position come in and have immediate success, like the Joe Burrows and guys like that. Like, and so our expectations become based on the few that actually live up to all the extra hype and expectations set. And Daniel Jones, he's had some great games, and he's obviously had some poor games. He just had a great drive. They moved the pocket. He used his feet. He threw the ball. He had a time where he should have thrown the ball, let it go, a young mental mistake. But you're going to have that when you're talking about a guy who's in year three. You hope that he grows out of it. But the fumbles, the turnovers, you can't live with that. You can't win with that.
Let's go, Greg, to a veteran who had a bad week one, and one of your former teammates. You guys won a Super Bowl together, Aaron Rodgers. Do you know him? Do you think – I've heard all manner – everybody's got a view of what happened. I've heard some guys say just one game, just a bad game, nothing to worry about. And others have said – it is more a sign that he's not all in. That when you look at what happened in the offseason, you know, he's just not all there. Where are you at on what happened in week one and moving forward?
Well, I'll start here. He's definitely in it to win it. Now, as far as how far in it, he's not as far in, because based on what he showed us this offseason, it was him being removed from the team, and him not going through the off-season program. All those things that he typically does, he didn't do. So there is something there, period. There is something to be said when a guy doesn't do that and then he performs like that. What I will say is this. It's no different than a guy getting paid, what happened to Aaron Rodgers. And this is why, guys, this is why I never was one to really speak out and to put my quarterback on blast, or a teammate for that matter, because the expectations you have now of yourself are set higher. And it's because of you, because of what you have done, or because of what you chose not to do. And so that's what we're seeing. Aaron Rodgers chose not to show up this offseason. He chose to make it about whatever it was about. And with that being the case, you can't afford to come and play like that, because right. Everybody's now going to directly relate it to, oh, he wasn't there. He's not all the way in. That can very well be the case, but it can very well not be. But what can't happen is you give us that ability to kind of perceive it that way based on your performance, because it says, yeah, I should have had more time, or I wasn't as prepared, or whatever the case may be. But I think he's going to be fine. I think the Packers are going to be fine. It was not a good showing. I think it was a poor showing, not only by Aaron Rodgers, but by that defense.
Right.
Their inability to be prepared for Jameis Winston and what that offense was going to look like.
How about Tua? Did he win over some people in Miami? I know it's only week one, but, you know, they've been so down they didn't vote him a captain. They talked about drafting another quarterback. There was even talk about trading Deshaun Watson to Miami, and that the Texans didn't want Tua in the trade. I'm just trying to figure out where's Tua at this point?
Well, I think Tua has a lot more maturing to do. He's gaining experience. The more playing time he gets, the more starts he gets underneath his belt. They've obviously put the weapons around him. So when you see organizations surround quarterbacks with what they need, they're eliminating all the excuses. Now it's on you. It's on you to make it work. And with Tua, it is on him. We've seen what you look like when you had a bunch of weapons at Alabama. We've seen what it looked like when you were able to run the type of offense that made you comfortable. That's what they're doing now in Miami. It's basically going to be on to it. It's a make or break. Anytime you see them surrounding an individual with talent, we saw it with Dak Prescott, and we said, up all the talent around Dak, they're making Dak better. Well, now we see it wasn't just that they were making Dak better, he was making everybody around him better as well.
All right. That's our man, Greg Jennings. We appreciate the knowledge as always, brother.
I appreciate you guys.
Enjoy that kale, was it?
Kale salad, or whatever.
Yeah.
Arugula. Yeah.
Arugula.
It sounds tasty.
A little mac nut oil.
I had
sounds
a little
delicious.
A little arugula on my scalp. I went to the dermatologist. I'm good now.
All right, Greg. Thanks, brother. See you next week.
All right. Take care, guys.